Good morning, everyone. Story County Board of County Commissioners meeting come to order. This date, Tuesday, April the 5th, 2016, times 10 a.m. Anybody's packing any cell phones with you, if you turn them off now, it's not to disrupt the meeting. And then if you'll stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We've got a full agenda today, so we're going to start off here on item number 3. This is discussion and possible action, approval of the agenda for April the 5th, 2016. Does anybody have any public comment regarding today's agenda?
I'll have one comment, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
It's possible we may have to move item number 14 around slightly. We're waiting for our appraiser to arrive.
Okay.
So I'll let you know when she gets it.
Okay, that'll be item number 12.
12.
Okay, very good. Any other comments regarding today's agenda? Motion for approval?
I'll move to approve today's agenda.
I'll second that motion.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the agenda for April the 5th, 2016. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 4. This is discussion and possible action. Approval of the minutes for February the 2nd, 2016. Any public comment regarding the minutes, February the 2nd? Okay. Motion for approval?
I'll move to approve the minutes for February the 2nd, 2016.
I'll second that motion.
We move to second to approve the minutes for February the 2nd, 2016. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 5. This is discussion of possible action. Approval of the minutes for February the 16th, 2016.
I'll move to approve the minutes.
Before that, does anybody have any public comment regarding those minutes? Hearing none, motion for approval?
I move to approve February 16th minutes.
I'll second that motion.
Moving to second to approve the minutes for February the 16th, 2016. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 6, discussion of possible action. Approval of the minutes for March the 1st, 2016. Any public comment regarding the minutes for March the 1st? Hearing none, call for a motion.
I move to approve the minutes for March the 1st, 2016.
I'll second that motion.
Moved and second to approve the minutes for March the 1st, 2016. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to the consent agenda. Any public comment regarding today's consent agenda? Hearing none, commissioners look for a motion for approval.
I'll move to approve today's consent agenda.
I'll second that motion.
We move to second to approve today's consent agenda. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 10. This is discussion only. We'll take no action or public comment. These are committee and staff reports. We'll go pretty quickly on these because most department heads or elected officials will be doing a question and answer during their budgets today. So, since I see Sean there, Sean, do you have a report today from Community Chest and Library?
Sean Griffin, I know you have a budget hearing all day today. I'll be real quick. We have our big event Friday night. I'd love to see all of you come Friday. It's 7:30 at Poor Man's Whiskey. It's our annual fundraiser. Thank you.
Great.
Hypers.
Thank you, Sean. The Story County Senior Center, April Lidlow?
Nothing today.
Nothing today, April? Okay. Jason Van Havel, we're planning?
Nothing today, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Sherry, Community Relations?
Okay. Yes, good morning, Sherry Niven, for the record. We are holding a weather spotter training this evening at 5:30 at the Lockwood Community Center. If anyone is interested in attending that and learning how to be a weather spotter, where you're welcome to attend. It'll be from 5:30 to 7. Waste Management has also teamed up with Story County to once again offer our residential dump days. They have about 3 weekends scheduled at the Lockwood Landfill, starting April 14th, 15th, and 16th, April 21st, 22nd, 23rd, and 28th, 29th, and 30th. That's from 8 till 4 o'clock. In Virginia City, our days will be May 5th through 7th. That's a Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. The transfer station is open from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m., and they are closed from 12 to 1 for lunch hour. So if you have any items at that time that you're looking to get rid of, please take them then. They do not take hazardous waste. There is a flyer on our website which lists which items are eligible and which are not. On April 26th, we'll have the Carson and Rural Elder Law Program through RSVP giving a presentation on powers of attorney, estate planning, and other topics related to seniors at the Lockwood Community Center from 10 to 12. Again, it's open to anyone wishing to attend. That's April 26th. That's all I have for today.
I, along with a few of my neighbors, have paint, house paint, and need to get disposed of?
I would have to look at the, it's on our website, Jack, and it lists all of the items there. Waste Management prepares that. I'm not sure that that is something
I didn't see paint on that list.
I can look into that and get back to you.
Okay, thank
and
you.
See. I don't believe they
poured up kitty litter.
I think it usually has to be dried and hard.
It has to be dead.
They'll take it if you go to Home Depot and buy that chemical and dump it and dry it out. I'll take it all day. I just looked that up Saturday.
Okay.
Okay, I heard that, but I didn't know how. If it was hearsay or it's true.
There's people in the audience who want to speak. You're going to have to come to the podium so that it can get picked up on tape.
All right.
Thanks.
You.
Okay. With that said, how about communications, Mr. Ballard?
I don't have your name.
Chief Ames.
Nothing today. Thank you.
Director of Security, Melanie Keener.
Nothing to
say,
thank you.
It's cold.
Stacy Buchanary, anything from Community Development? Public Works, Mike Devin.
Do you see this clock going?
I forgot my keep a brief speech.
I'll try to keep it pretty brief, Ann. Okay.
Thank you.
Good morning, commissioners and audience. Just a couple of updates. Probably the biggest one is on the siphon line replacement underneath I-580 there. As you are aware, this project is a result of the federal funds that are being spent by NDOT to improve on-off ramps and repairs to the Bellevue Bridge. And as I mentioned, it was discovered that that line probably was never replaced when it was supposed to have been back in the 60s when they widened the freeway the first time. But nevertheless, it's on target. The contractor is Q&D Construction. The Department of Transportation will be issuing a change order for the waterline replacement underneath that section of the freeway. Of course, we have the responsibility for everything from centerline east. The Marlette system has responsibility from centerline west. The new line will be a 12-inch line. It'll be encased, and it'll be a little bit further to the south of the existing 140-year-old line from 1875 that we still use. So we anticipate that that project should be completed sometime mid-June. They're awaiting some permits that are necessary at this point, and the other thing that we've been working with NDOT and the Marlette system on through State Public Works, through the District Attorney's Office, is an interlocal agreement that we'll enter into And we've taken a look at the draft language, and everything looks good. So Deputy DA Loomis has told their folks in Carson City to go ahead and proceed and get a final out to us so we can get that to you folks for final approval here within the next month, I would guess, probably. The other thing that I just wanted to make mention quickly is with your approval on the rental agreement for Ames Construction, who is a contractor for the USA Parkway extension. They're in the process of moving into the tri-facility there and place a couple of job site trailers on the east parking lot. So we've been working with that to get that all up and running for them. So probably within the next couple of weeks, you'll see that portion of the facility out there occupied. So that's pretty much all I have today. And
great.
Thank you.
Very good.
Okay. So I see we have our IT director here today, too. James Dean, do you have anything other than what comes with your budget today? Okay. Thanks for being here. Over at our senior planner and human resources director, Austin Osborne.
Thank you, Mr. Commissioners. I just want to make a couple quick announcements. One of them is we'll be holding our next Planning Commission workshop down in Mark Twain on April 7th. And at that meeting will be the first release of master plan maps. So we'll be discussing not only the text that exists in the master plan, but how they tie into the visuals. And then at that point, we'll be going from community to community with the maps and the text and discussing the last elements of the master plan before we start looking at approval. And then the last thing is, there's still some details to work out, but I want to let you know, Comstock Mining, as you know from quite a while ago, working with NDOT has one more layer of pavement to put on down at the State Route 342 realignment by the mine, and they'll have to stripe that as well. So they're working with NDOT to do that. There's the potential, but not 100% of surety, for a one-day road closure while they put that asphalt down. That, and then there is the potential for 3 to 5 days of general construction where you may see one-way traffic, but two-way, but controlled through flaggers. They'll be working with NDOT on that. That will float somewhere between April 1 and May 20. The reason they created a floating period of time is because of the weather, if it snows or anything like that. Because of what we're seeing outside, probably is going to get done in the next week or so, and this will be over with. But they're working with particularly Denny's team and Chief Hames in addressing, you know, what days those will be, and it should be a minimal disruption to the community, and then that road will be 100% officially finished. Thank you.
Great. We have the County Recorder, Jim Chapman. Do you have anything outside of your budget today?
Nothing today.
Okay. Thank you. The Comptroller's Office, Mr. Gallagher.
Nothing, Mr. Chairman. I'll defer.
Sheriff Jerry?
Nothing to add.
No special counsel today? Deputy District Attorney, Mr. Loomis?
Nothing to add, Mr. Chairman.
DA Langer?
Nothing at this time, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Whitten?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I just want to recognize that we have two up-and-coming Comstock future leaders in our audience today between Jordan Ballard and Colt Hess. Welcome. They're either doing their penance or fulfilling their requirement for their government class. Mr. S. does a great job with that stuff. And Jordan, I just want you to now know your dad's every bit as entertaining here at work as he is at home. So. That's it.
County Clerk's Office, anybody there? Nothing? Yes, sir. Did I pass anyone over? Did we cover everything? All right. That concludes item 10. We're going to move on now to item number 11. These are board comments. We'll take no action or public comment. Commissioner McGuffey?
Yes.
Last NACO board meeting, one of the agenda items was the gas tax that's going to be on the November ballot, allowing commissioners to adjust gas tax monies would go for our county only type road repairs. So NACO's moving forward on that. However, Jeff Fontaine, the director of NACO, he was going to write the pro-con issue to be put on the ballot. However, he changed his mind and kind of surprised everybody. So now it's left in each county's lap to write their own pro-con. We are working with Carson City with their pro-con writers there to kind of implement the same. We kind of the goal was to have all counties on the same page, but Jeff felt that some counties had different issues than others. So that's where that's at now. So we'll be in contact with the Carson City general manager there for that. Zip code, it's still, the NACO's just not going to touch it until they see what happens on our end. So that's where that goes. We had a surprise guest, and that was Supreme Court Justice Hardy. He made a presentation along with a letter to the governor requesting the governor not issue any more programs or taxes that were unfunded, as he did at his last campaign. And he would like to see the counties to start trying to budget for indigent detainees in the jails. He also wants to look, look at our bail systems. Each county is doing their own bail systems the way they feel best. And there's no standardization. I think he's looking to try to standardize a bail system because according to his figures, about 70% of the detainees in jail are there because they can't afford the bond. And it's not like they're a career criminal. They just got in trouble, but they might have jobs, they might be supporting families, and when they're sitting in jail because they can't afford a bond, they lose their jobs, sometimes their families, and their families suffer as much. So he's kind of pressing, he kind of came in to sell us on trying to maybe down the road to look at making some kind of funding available for some of these people. This is just a preliminary thing, just to talk about it right now. He's not expecting any action. St. Mary's Art Center, we have hired a new person to run the building, take care of the building, and I'm glad to announce that being Carl Gabriel. And he's hit the ground with both feet running. He's doing a great job.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Commissioner. Mr. Gilman?
Nothing today, sir. Thank you.
I, too, have nothing today. With that, we're going to move on now to item number 12. This is discussion of possible action. Consideration of possible action on ratification of the county manager's decision to retain Ann Delahaye to appraise lots leased from the Bucket of Blood Saloon for courthouse parking. Now, for full disclosure,
can we just defer this item for a bit?
Sure.
Okay, the appraiser's not here yet.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. Then we'll go ahead. We'll put number 12 on hold, and we'll move on to number 13. This is discussion only. This is a presentation of the American Society of the Civil Engineers Truckee Meadows Branch 2015 Environmental Project of the Year Award. Sherry Nevin.
Thank you, Sherry Nevin, for the record. Here with us today, we are fortunate to have Lucas Tipton with Far West Engineering, Bob Leone with Q&D Construction, and Cheryl Couch with USDA. Lucas is going to present this award, and I'd ask when after the presentation if we could get a photo of the team with the commissioners. Appreciate that. So, Lucas, Cheryl, everyone want to come up? Bob? Thank you.
Thank you. On March 15th, the recently completed Virginia City Wastewater Treatment Plant was awarded with the Truckee Meadows Branch 26 Environmental Project of the Year from the American Society of Civil Engineers as an outstanding achievement in civil engineering. And I have with me the full team here, and I would like to turn the mic over to Cheryl Couch with USDA.
Thank you. This is Cheryl Couch, USDA Rural Development. I'm here on behalf of actually Sarah Adler, our state director, who just wants to offer her congratulations to Far West for doing an excellent job in design for Story County in coming to us for funding. Thank you. We were thrilled and excited to offer the funding, or a portion of the funding, for this project. It was a huge team effort. And then also to Q&D for doing an excellent job of construction and managing this project. And just wanted to offer congratulations all around. And thank you, especially to the counties.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. It really was a partnership and a team effort with USDA, Q&D, and their expertise and the leadership of Mike and all of Story County. And so we were really excited to receive this award. It's actually going on to regionals, so we'll see. We got another piece of decoration for your wall here, Mike. But it's just a huge thank you and congratulations for everyone. Thank you.
Not to mention that, we have a great working relationship with USDA Rural Development, and Cheryl's been the forefront of ramrodding this project forward. So it's her efforts that actually get us to this point. I mean, there's a whole wide web of network out there doing it, but Cheryl should get the majority of the credit for this because she really deserves it. So.
Well, thank you.
Let's get everybody. Is this podium in the way?
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Great.
Thank you.
Wait.
Thank you, guys.
Congratulations.
Hey. And Lucas, nice job.
Aren't you taking up streets?
Okay, we're going to move on now to item number 14. This is a discussion of possible action. This is action to be taken on a lease payment in the amount of $4,500 to the Bucket of Blood for the lease of the courthouse parking. Now, this item slipped through the cracks a couple of meetings ago, and therefore it shouldn't have been on the consent agenda, but it was. So we're going to bring it up again at this time and vote on it again. And I'm going to go ahead and abstain from voting on this because I have pecuniary interest in this parking lot as I am an owner in the Bucket of Blood Saloon. So at this time, commissioners, I'm looking for a motion to go ahead and approve the payment to the Bucket of Blood in the amount of $4,500.
I would approve the action to be taken on the lease payment in the amount of $4,500 to the Bucket of Blood for lease of courthouse parking.
Do we have any public comment on this? Okay. I'll second that motion.
Okay. It's been moved and second to approve. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 And I abstain. Okay. We're going to go ahead and move into the tentative budget hearings here since the appraiser has not yet shown up. And we'll just go into a recess at that time. And we'll go back to item number 12 when Ann shows up. So, item number 15 is the discussion possible action, the tentative budget hearings for the fiscal year 2016-2017. Mr. Gallagher.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Commissioners, County Master, County Manager Whitten, our department heads, ladies and gentlemen, distinguished students, and Story County stakeholders. This 2017 budget preview and process has been very interesting. As you may know, and may remind yourselves, in 2015 we had an SB1 from the legislature that involved Tesla Motors. 2016 we had a legislative SB1 that provided us with the switch super loop. All very interesting and very abated pieces of property. To go along with that this year, we have a general election, which is usually never good for anybody. And next year, we start the 2017 legislative session, which nobody has a clue probably what's going to happen, and it will depend upon the midterm elections this year, understanding the fact that the state of Nevada passed a tremendously huge tax package at the end of the last legislature. Nationally and internationally, within the United States, we're trying to look at what we call GDP, which is gross domestic product. There seems to be some movement on from a various amount of economists throughout the country and internationally. Now, I'm not a big economist fan. I think they're pretty much like weathermen. You can wait 5 minutes and then their opinion will change. But the data that some of the areas that they have support that, we may, in fact, be starting into a recession. There's a couple of indicators that that we look at and they look at just to see where all of this is going. Number one is the European situation. The sovereign debt crisis between the European central banks and all of the bailouts for Portugal, Ireland, Italy, Greece, Spain is incredible, and it's not getting any better. The Chinese bubble, they figure, is about to burst. They have extended themselves. As you know, they do not, they do very little as far as imports, trying to export. Their stock market is highly regulated, so that they have had margins where they have had to have stop trading because of events that have occurred in their country, and their housing is just absolutely insane. We had several years ago a tremendous debt problem with our central banking system, which is now extended for the most part to student loans. Before, we had people that couldn't pay on their mortgages, got up in the middle of the night and left them, and now it's the problem has occurred that somewhere along the line these student loans aren't getting paid either, and a tremendous amount of money. There's about $1.2 trillion in outstanding debt loans right now. The unemployment picture is not as rosy as it seems, and the economists or whichever parties in power can take a number and turn it about three different ways. And it's just trying to figure out which way is you're going to believe, and in fact, you may not believe any of it. Central banks in the United States had little room to work with. Before, when the crisis hit in about 2008, 2007, they could relatively, with what they've got in reserves and whatever, do some things to try and get them try and get themselves out of a jam. They are wound way too tight now. They have no leverage. And they have very little escape routes. So if something does happen, it will be pretty much catastrophic to that central banking system. And the economic data, from what I can gather and what these people can gather, shows a similar pattern right before the last recession. So with that in mind, that pearly piece of evidence, We have, in Story County, property taxes for the general fund in 2015, the actual was about $6.3 million. The numbers that we are getting from the tax, from the Department of Taxation right now is about $5.3 million. So we are looking at about $1 million less in revenue in the general fund. And building permits, which I kind of like that indicator because it gives me or gives us an opportunity to see how business is growing. For example, in 2014, building permits for the first quarter of 2014 were 331,000. So when we looked at the first quarter in 2015, it was 621,000. It was almost double. The first quarter of 2016 is about 32,000. So it lends an air of caution, and so caution will be pretty much my mainstay through this budget and onward to the final. With that, we will start with the general fund budget. And the general fund budget, we really do have revenues that are about $975,000 higher than than last budget session. Understand that ad valorem is about 65% of the total revenue budget for the general fund. But the $975,000 that is higher represents significant increases in charges for services, which represents $851,000 from a Tesla agreement and another $100,000 from a BIA contract with the Sheriff's Department. Understanding that, we will go now through each of the departments within the general fund, and we will start with the clerk treasurer. Clerk treasurer's budget increased $67,000 over last year, of which $12,500 is attributed to staff reclassifications, longevity, and health insurance reclassifications. Operating expenses increased $43,000 for the state of Nevada mandated record management requirements, $6,000 to replace aging voting equipment, and another $5,000 for refunds. I'm going to preface the refund thing here because there's going to be a lot of funds that have that. And this is a this is from our auditor who we receive revenue for certain things, for charges or, let's say, property taxes, and they pay us too much. The normal course would be to write a check out of that income account. That's not a good idea anymore. So we are going to make an expense item within the general budget, within the general fund by department to go ahead and take care of that. The next is district. Go ahead. Okay. You want to be?
If we can, a couple things. One, if we can stop right after the clerk treasurer for a moment and move back to item 12. But I do want to point out, too, I think it's important to know what's not in these budgets. And in the case of the clerk treasurer, while she may not know it yet, Commissioner McGuffey and I and Mr. Gallagher meet sometime later this month with a few folks from the BMT with the intent that if we do not get some major forward progress, we will probably begin the research and dialogue of a repeal of the quarter cent sales tax that could come possibly on the November ballot. More likely, it could be a special election. So, and with that, Mr. Chairman, I believe our appraiser is here, and Keith is ready to guide us through this process on item number 12. If you will.
Okay. We move back to item number 12. This is consideration and possible action on ratification of the county manager's decision to retain Aunt Delahaye to appraise the lots leased from the Bucket of Wood for the courthouse parking. Now, for full disclosure, I have a pecuniary interest in these properties, and I'm going to go ahead and turn this portion of the meeting over to Vice Chairman Gilman, and I'm going to go ahead and recuse myself from any deliberation, and I'm going to abstain from voting on this item.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, this is Ann Delahaye. As you know, the county has been working for some period of time to make improvements to the courthouse parking lot. Under the statutes, in order for a county to improve a parking lot, it has to own the parking lot. And so what we are proposing is that the county is going to purchase the lots that are presently owned and leased from the Bucket of Blood so that the county can go ahead and make those improvements to the parking lot. Now, the lease from the Bucket of Blood has been in place for quite some time, and that's been fine up until the time that Chairman McBride became a commissioner. Once he became a commissioner, the ethics requirements prohibit the county from entering into a contract unless the Ethics Commission approves of the contract. And we went down to the Ethics Commission about a month and a half ago and provided them with information as to what it was the county and Chairman McBride proposed to do. They reviewed the circumstances and the facts, and they have issued their opinion allowing the county to go ahead with that purchase. They did say that in order for the county to go ahead with the purchase, they have to be in strict compliance with the statute that authorizes a county to purchase lots, and that says that the Board of County Commissioners must select an appraiser competent to perform an appraisal to do the appraisal. The appraiser herself must then be sworn in to perform the appraisal. Now, so what we have done is some time ago, County Manager Witten had actually gone ahead and asked Ms. Delahaye to go ahead and do the appraisal on those lots, and she has done one that was effective as of December 15th of 2015. And what we are asking is that for the board to consider ratifying the appointment done by the county manager, because the choice has to come from the board. Now, the board does not have to ratify that decision. That's an option that the board has. We're simply saying, presenting the opportunity to ratify that decision now. And so, Ms. Delahaye, if you have anything that you'd like to add?
Not particularly. I've done a lot of I'm a certified general appraiser. I've been practicing in Nevada since 1996. Currently, I work as a review appraiser for the Nevada Department of Transportation. I also do work on my own business, typically on weekends. I've been doing commercial appraisals since 1986. I've done a lot of appraisals in Virginia City. Primarily, most of them were residential properties. Up until about 2008 when I began working for the state. Since that time, I've done a few commercial properties also, but primarily residential properties. I'm very familiar with the area and have done a lot of work in the past in Virginia City.
So it appears that you're qualified to do the appraisal that we're asking for, and it appears, Keith, that we are in conformance with the regulatory environment and with ethics, and therefore what you're asking the commission here to do is to ratify the circumstances and approve what County Manager Witten has put into place. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
I believe the first order of business would be call for any public, any public testimony? Yeah, please.
Nicole Barton, Story County resident. I just have a point of clarification. You hired her in December to do the appraisal, so the appraisal is already done?
Correct.
So if this gets ratified, that appraisal done in December is the appraisal that would be submitted to the board to then offer Marshall.
I'll look for concurrence from Mr. Loomis, but that would be the plan.
Well, what we propose to do is after, if Ms. Delahaye is, her appointment is ratified, she's going to get sworn in by the clerk's office. I do have a certification prepared whereby she can choose to certify that prior appraisal as still being an accurate and valid appraisal as of today. She has mentioned that there may be something else she needs to do to confirm that, but if she, we'll do whatever she has to do in order to make that a valid appraisal if she's ratified today.
Okay, it's just odd to me that it's already been done, and now it comes for approval to be done. So it just seems out of sequence to me. Usually you get the approval, then you get the appraisal, then the appraisal is automatically current, and now it seems as if there needs to be an additional step, possibly at additional cost, to update the appraisal from December till now. Is that inaccurate?
I would say that's accurate, yes.
Okay, so just wondering, why did it get done before this approval to the tune of 5 months ago?
Well, I think that the past practice had been that the county manager has asked an appraiser to perform an appraisal in the past. Now, in this case, the Ethics Commission has required that we strictly follow the requirements of the statute, which requires that the board make the selection rather than the county manager. And that's how it's an additional step as a result of their requirements.
Okay, so we're just following up with process, something that's already been done outside of process.
Yes,
okay.
It's optional. They don't have to follow through on it. There are other ways
to
proceed.
Because an appraisal in December, given this market, is going to be different than what it would appraise for today, so that to me means there's going to be rework.
Possible.
Okay, thank you.
Any other public comment on this issue? Comment?
Commissioner? No, we're not approving the appraisal. We're just approving Ann as our appraiser.
That's correct.
Okay.
So if we have discussed the issue, I'm ready to call for a motion.
Okay. I'll make a motion for Story County to retain Ann Delahaye to appraise lots leased from the Bucket of Blood for courthouse parking.
I'll second your motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lance.
You're welcome, sir.
Very good. We're going to go ahead and move back to item number 15 now. Mr. Gallagher, if you'll continue.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Our next item is district court. The district court expenses are about $22,000 lower than the last previous year due to anticipated decreases in juvenile detention payments. Now, this, again, may raise a we may get some documentation between now and the final that may change this number, but as of this time, Clerk Stevens has said that this is probably what they're going to need for the upcoming fiscal year. Genetic marker testing, these are revenues derived from Justice Court and District Court fees set by statute, and expenditures range from courtroom improvements to lab fees. There's really very little change in this. It's kind of a pass-through and really no effect. The drug court revenue is accumulated at the time of sentencing and passed through to Carson City's alternative sentencing per order of district court judges. The recorder budget district decreased $745 over last year due to decreases in equipment maintenance, rents, and computer equipment, and Jim Chapman should be congratulated for that. The assessor's budget increased $25,000 over the previous year due to salary adjustments, longevity, and benefit increases. The technology fund, which is shared by the clerk treasurer, the recorder, and the assessor, are done from fees, additional document fees, of which the expenditures must benefit technologies. And so we're anticipating that technology fund increase. Revenues are about $73,000, and we're going to we may expect revenue expenditures of $79,000. Our next fund is buildings and grounds. Buildings and grounds is in these next six budgets belong to Mike Nevin, who does just an admirable job of all of these funds. And his first one is building and grounds, of which the budget increased $59,000 over last year's projections, of which $30,000 is projected to fix a wall behind the public works area, a stone wall, and $10,000 to secure the foundation of the B Street garage, and $23,000 for an historical preservation grant. In talking to Mike, he's probably going to be fairly busy between now and the end of the year because he has approximately $90,000 left in his fund that he can expend between now and June 30th. Our congratulations to Mike for that. And since spring has sprung, I'm sure you'll be able to see Mike's crew out there diligently working on all of these projects. Pools and parks, the swimming pool and parks increased $11,000 over last year due to anticipated reductions in building and equipment maintenance, rents, and utilities. And it should be noted that hopefully before June 30th of this year, we can get the parking lot that was acquired across the street. We can get that thing paved so we can have adequate parking for not only the community center, but the baseball field, the swimming pool, and the Virginia City Park. Our service department, this budget has increased about $10,000, mainly due to staff step increases and health insurance. It should be noted that in prior years we had mentioned that there will be a small administrative charge or service charge for all of our vehicles for Mike's labor that has been involved in this. We will be discussing this during all of our sessions between the tentative and final, and that will come up during the final preparations. Want to change?
Oh, we don't have to for roads. We'll change the water.
Next becomes the roads budget, and the roads revenue projections increased $39,000 due to anticipated increase in gas tax, SCCRT, and import tonnage fees. Expenses are projected to increase by $179,000 due to capital outlay expenses for a snowplow of $107,000. And a water truck for $150,000. Road improvements are estimated at a little over $1 million for next year. In addition, there's roughly $400,000 now in improvements that we can make during this current year, for which Mike, I'm pretty sure, has slated. So we've got some additional work going on with roads, too.
Now's the time.
Okay. At this time, we're going to go ahead and recess as the Story County Board of Commissioners, and we're going to convene as the Water and Story County Water and Sewer Board.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The water charges project project an increase of $16,000 due to usage and a projected increase in interest income of about $8,000. Expenses are projected to increase about $24,000, of which a majority is the interest and principal payments on debt service. The Virginia Divide Sewer revenue and expenses remained fairly stable compared to the 2016 budget. Interest and principal payments will remain at $118,884 with regard to the USDA Water Treatment Phase 1. This is the one that was just completed. It is anticipated that the next phase, which will include replacement of water, wastewater collection lines, and a loft and a lift station, will cost $13 million, of which the USDA will grant us $8.8 million. Thank God for the USDA. That concludes my remarks on those two items, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, so we'll go ahead, and we will adjourn as the Story County Water and Sewer.
I think we want to vote on the water and sewer budget as the board.
Comment, yes. Yeah, have public comment. And
water. All right, we'll do that. Okay, we'll go ahead, and we'll take public comment on the Story County Water and Sewer at this time.
Just one correction. It's not a balanced correction. It's just a...
I think you made mention the USDA was for the water phase one. That should have been sewer.
I'm sorry.
Wastewater phase correct. One.
Sewer phase two, isn't it?
And sewer phase two will be the next.
Right.
Yes.
Sewer one got completed, just got completed.
Yeah. But I think it did have it listed as water project phase one.
Wastewater.
Oh, you
wastewater
did.
Treatment
okay,
number one.
Okay. You just, yeah.
Yeah.
Great.
Thanks, Mike.
Okay. Very good. Any other public comment regarding water and sewer? Hearing none, commissioners, we can go ahead and get a motion to approve the budget for the water and sewer for 2016-2017.
I would move to approve the tentative budget for 2016 for sewer and water for the county.
I'll second that motion.
Moving and second to approve the budget for water and sewer. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. At this point, we'll go ahead and we will adjourn as the Story County Water and Sewer Board, and we're going to reconvene as the board.
Yes.
We're going to reconvene as the Story County Board of Commissioners.
Thank you, Mr.
Gallagher.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Our next special revenue fund is USDA. That's the Department of Agriculture, which we have had a great relationship with. Has financed many projects with us, and hopefully will finance many more.
USDA.
Phase one of the wastewater treatment plant has been completed, as Mike mentioned.
Yeah.
By agreement with the U.S. Department of Agriculture, all payments resulting from loan proceeds of the wastewater treatment plant, plus payments for a 474 fire district fire equipment, must be paid out of this fund. So we will be transferring funds from other funds into the USDA fund, of which they will then be taking their payments electronically from that. I should mention that the there's still one USDA water. The first one was in probably about 12 years ago, of which we've got $500,000 left to do. We're going to take a look at that in the upcoming years to see if we may be able to pay that off. But that's just conjecture at this time. Our next department is community development. Departmental increases are projected to increase $112,000 over the last budget due to staff reclassifications, longevity, and overtime allotments of about $15,000. It is anticipated that the overtime allowance may be less due to additional procedures and prior approval of overtime. Additionally, professional services is anticipated to increase to reduce the plan review time in the industrial park, and capital outlay is scheduled for one additional vehicle. Now, this is the one we're going to take a look at, because between Stacy and Dean and the staff, if the building permitting cycle continues as it is for the first quarter into the second quarter of 2016, this particular budget will probably be adjusted depending upon where we sit in the industrial park.
Let me jump in if I may. This department is a very difficult one to forecast. Thanks to Mr. Gilman's successes at the industrial park. We wind up finding ourselves sometimes working 20-plus hour days through both Dean, Stacy, Chris, and Sarah now. We're down one employee in this work team, which always concerns us because what we use to succeed in this county that no one else in the region or the state and perhaps even the country can do is tailor-make your building permit and inspection processes to suit the needs of the project. Doesn't matter if it's a huge one like Tesla or Switch or a very small one, even a home. If there needs to be an inspection on a Saturday morning, either Dean or Chris will be out there. And if all you have to do is take a look at your business licenses, while the indicators and permit and plan review fees may be concerning, we had, I believe, 26 first readings today of business licenses. Those are all processed through here. So I would tell you this department is probably the engine, the lifeblood of economic development, at least as it pertains to the general fund. I can certainly make very identical comments when it comes to the fire district with their team participation. Also through Austin, Dean, myself, you know, as we look at flexing, we're also looking at various staffing solutions, too, that may or may not be your traditional, you know, let's add another body to replace the body that left last week. We may look at contract services, temp help, those types of things, as long as we can get the quality of the person that we want. That is critical, too. These folks are out there interfacing with our marquee companies, and we want to make sure that they represent the county and they embrace the county's philosophy and vision. So that's it.
Thank you, Pat. District Attorney, expenditures are projected to increase $324,000 over the last budget cycle due to salary reclassifications and one additional part-time employee in the amount of $23,000. Additional professional fees in the amount of $295,000 were allocated to cover four anticipated jury trials during the next fiscal year. You want to add to this? Or after?
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah.
After?
Yeah. Wait. Yeah. And I know Ann does probably more specifically.
Right. Okay.
Ann Langer, Story County District Attorney. When I hear those numbers myself, they sound pretty shocking. But with a district attorney's office, many times each budget year, our budgets would ebb and flow depending on what is happening in the community. With regard to this last year, between July 2nd and December 31st, there were two murders, two attempted murders. And although I can't comment on a case specifically due to the code of professional responsibility, I do want everybody to know that I am in our offices diligently working on the Judy Black case. So what is happening with this is that we've got the civil part of our job that everybody knows everybody is working together as a team in this county to bring everything up to date, including the ordinances. That is one situation where we have Bob Morris's salary to think of civilly. Criminally, as far as the prosecution goes, that would fall on me, which is fine. But where you have the issue is not, it's when the costs that go along with the prosecution of cases goes outside the sheriff's office and it goes outside the district attorney's office in the fact that the more complicated, the more extensive the case, many times there's professional services that you have to employ people to come in and serve as experts in analyzing the information and the evidence that you have in your case. So when I was asked to put this budget together, I was asked to forecast what I thought could possibly happen in the next budget year, and make the best educated guess I could based on the services that I might have to employ to get these cases done. With that being said, that does not mean I'm necessarily going to be spending this money. And any money I don't spend will be going back to the county. I was told at the time by the comptroller and the county manager to think ahead and not look to the end where I would be asking for augmentations. So with that in mind, the number sounds big, and I'm going to do my best to be as frugal as possible regarding these cases. But the reality is these cases are there, and they have to be handled. Thanks. Any questions?
May I chime in while she's up there?
Go ahead.
You know, I want to call out and recognize Ann and her entire team. And I know she hates it when I do this, but tough. You are working. I work with six electeds outside of the commission, and I tell you, we live and die by teamwork, and you are a consummate example of a team player. Your communication skills and keeping us in the loop is incredible. I know you and I often talk at 6:30 at night. In fact, I think we did last night, as a matter of fact, over an hour. So we have never had quality legal available to us to the extent we have today. That's not necessarily meant to diminish or tarnish any of our past teams. But I will tell you, just hearkening back to the parking lot and the complexities of needing to know that you can't do this, you need to do this, those were things that I think Keith more subtly referenced than I am, that said, this contract's been in place for a long time. You know, but as somebody like Keith Loomis digs in and peels the layers of the onion back, it's like, we need to go to ethics, we need to follow this process. And it's tough sometimes for these guys, particularly with a guy like me and maybe Austin, that just wants to get the parking lot done. But it's a case of we'll get it done, we just need to do it right. And I want to thank you, Keith and Bob, and the specialists that you bring in available to us, too, to really – it's getting more and more complex out there in today's world to run this little county. I've been doing this since 2005, and it isn't the same. It can't be the same. Times have changed, and this is the best we've ever had. So, thank you.
How do you plan on monitoring this budget? Are you going to have a budget for each case, or are they just lumped together?
Depends on what you want. There's in breaking down the budget. There are certain There's certain salaries that would be paid through professional services in reference to outside counsel or experts. I think if I would go to the comptroller on that as far as breaking down each one, because it's hard to break down each one. I think we have the ability to break down what are professional services for outside counsel and what are professional services for experts that might be needed in a particular case. But as far as a line item goes, the problem that I'm always working with is the confidentiality of my job. Everybody asks me a lot of questions about what's going on with these particular cases, and again, because of the rules of professional responsibility, I have a tough time going through each individual case that is real and talking about it. And why I think it's worth it because of the experts I'm going to employ. Because the minute I start talking about experts that are on a bottom line, the defense can come in, look at it, and say, oh, she's doing this, that, and this. So it's kind of an odd position for me to be in, but it's the position I've been in for 30-some-odd years now.
I'm not asking for any kind of information related to your trials or whatever hearings, but there's money spent on each case. You have to hire somebody to do this for this case.
Right.
So I'm referring back to when I was the JG, there was a case on in my budget for the guy that killed the lady out of Lockwood. So there was a budget amount. His name was used for, you know, as a budget line item. So there was a monthly dollar amount to that was dedicated for that. So I was just wondering if you were going to be doing something of that nature, or are you just, you're just going to have a big melting pot to draw out of.
Can I answer that?
Sure.
Commissioner McGuffey, I think from a more global perspective, Ann said it right. She'll be working with the comptroller regarding any expenditures over $1,500. That'll include a process with me. And I will tell you, it's almost impossible, I think. And again, I know the 2% of what I need to know that Ms. Langer shares with me, and not the other 98%, because it's not, you know, she's got her confidentiality requirements. But I would tell you, for things like, and we have talked about this, and I believe we can talk about this, let's not look at specific experts for a murder trial, or even other legal assistance, but let's look at staffing for a minute, administrative staffing. This probably, the DA's office right now, is probably run with administrative specialists, or whatever we call them, probably thinner than any other work team in the county. There's basically one full-timer paralegal and one less than part-time paralegal.
Right.
And to be truthful with you, at least from what Ann has shared with me and what I know from Lyon County and others, when they get a capital murder case, the discovery, the records, circulations, requests that come from the defense counsels can be overwhelming. So it's possible that for any one of these cases, you know, Ann may need to come to both of us and say, either through temp help, can we get a paralegal? Or I know of a paralegal who's willing to work for X, but you just really don't know until you get into each of the individual processes. But there will be certainly controls, and Ann knows. Everything she said is fully accurate. We said, put it in there. We'll reserve it to the extent we can. And if it isn't used, then it just stays in the general fund.
Right, because with the prosecution, it ebbs and flows. Things happen on my level in the criminal business that you can't predict, and then all of a sudden it's there. So at least I've been able to write down what I believe that I could say publicly over that has the potential in the next budget cycle.
In the event that you're successful in conviction on any cases that are out there, is there any avenue for restitution or reimbursement for expenses to your office for prosecution?
No.
Okay.
No.
I wanted to follow up also with a quick thank you and a comment, and my experience as a commissioner here, and I think we generally all share, we come from the public sector, and so we've been elected to and are now working within the public sector from private, and in the regulatory environment that we all live in today, and it's becoming increasingly more complicated. And so we're all looking at very complex issues from a lot of different disciplines. And I want to thank you. Your guidance through this path, and from an ethics standpoint or from a planning and protocol standpoint, you've been great, very gracious with me. And so I'm following up with what Pat suggested. I think probably it's the finest DA department we've ever seen here in our county. And I personally thank you for the guidance you've been giving me.
Wow, are somebody in the room here? Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah. You're welcome.
I'll second that.
All right.
Okay. I will mention, Mr. Chairman, that as these projects go forward, the accountability for all of these is going to be by object code, which is going to be by trial, so we will fully be able to understand exactly what it costs us for each and every one of them. So the process is we would like to, we don't want to shortchange any trial because of this, so we thought we'd better put this stuff in. Next is our Justice Court. Justice Court expenses are anticipated to be $33,000 more than last year, which reflects staff reclassifications and one additional part-time employee to cover the increased workload. In addition, there will be additional training that will be anticipated for bailiff duties. Our next fund is the Justice Court Fund. This is a special revenue fund that was created through NRS 176, and the expenses are classified as operations, training, and capital expenditures. It should be noted that by a directive from the district court, Justice Court will have to prepare to vacate from this district court room. So in capital projects, we have allocated $500,000. County Manager Witten has extended meetings every 2 weeks so we can get some sort of a plan to satisfy what our two district judges have commented on. Okay. Our next is, go ahead.
Yeah, let me just add, and that includes, Comptroller Gallagher has indicated, you know, positioning $500,000 in the cap project fund, we're looking for much more cost-effective ways to do it. We're not trying to pad budgets by any means. We'd much rather spend that money on other projects. But at this stage, we're going to provide for the worst-case scenario, as we have already received quotes, estimates from at least one contractor, and are now going to, through this committee, task force, whatever, over the next few months, hammer out an actual plan that will get us there.
Thanks, Matt. Our next department is communications. This departmental expenses are anticipated to be about $68,000 over the previous year. $59,000 of that is due to a staffing remodel, which will involve two dispatch employees on dispatch 24/7. We have been tinkering around with this for several years. We have pretty much trying to put Band-Aids on, you know, at what point in time we will need double coverage and what time we don't. This is probably the time that we need to do this. If you talk to Chief Ames or Sheriff Antonaro, seems that things are getting a little busy, especially out at the south part of our county, and sometimes it's simply not enough for one dispatcher. So we're gonna pull the trigger on this and allow for two dispatchers 24/7.
And I'd like to chime in on this one, if I may.
Go ahead.
This is a, and I think I'm going to ask Dave to come up too, because he's got one story that I think epitomizes the situation. We've heard Dave and we've heard Chief Haynes tell us before that, you know, with the enhanced 911, phase two, whatever it's called, we can now micro-locate, and actually he's going to tell two stories. We can now micro-locate people, and we're taking all the calls on the Truckee River corridor. If you keep in mind, I'm amazed that he can do this and only go up 8.7%. Our target and all this, we kind of take a look at what revenues were going up, and they went up 7.8%, I think. Dave's really close to the mark, and yet is able to make some of this, some of these changes work and still come in that low. The other thing I want to point out before he talks is we're already, and maybe you can add a third story real briefly, we're already saving substantial sums of money in conversions of our phone system. I'll ask him to share with you what we're paying AT&T versus what we pay as we work with him on taking us into the more modern day technology such as voice over internet. So Hillside, the fire, and the phone savings.
Okay, Dave Ballard for the record. Starting with those stories, I'll start with the little technology with the new phone system we had. We, as I've been telling everybody, we're going with the next generation 911. Gives us a lot more information when you get the cell calls. You're able to get a GPS coordinate, and it gives you within meters of a call. About 2 months ago, we had a 911 call of a hiker down in Lockwood. She wandered up somewhere behind, off a canyon way, up on one of the roads. Wasn't really sure where she was at, but as she got up a little bit farther, she said there was rocks falling over her head. She thought the whole mountain was caving in on her. And she laid down and was screaming hysterical, calling 911. She didn't speak very good English, so we had a rough time talking to her. We kind of pinpointed the general area where she was just by her saying she was heading towards the old bridge. And so we paged out the fire department trying to find her, expecting the mountain to be falling in on her. I had no idea where she was at. And as we're trying to give them the location, she couldn't tell. She wouldn't stand up. She said there were so many rocks flying over her head. So we took the GPS coordinates, ran that into Google Earth, and looked and saw it was somewhere up behind the senior center up there by Hillside. We were able to tell the firemen that, said, you know, this is the area we're kind of pointing in. And she also had told us prior to that that she was wearing a pink jacket. So right where we told him to look, he looked right up, and sure enough, there was a pink jacket right where she said she was. So we were able to go up there and get her pretty quickly. So the technology of it is pretty amazing to see that part of it. The other stuff Pat was talking about was about a month ago, I guess it was. I'm not sure the time, 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning. We had a wildland fire in our jurisdiction off of I-80. And phones blew up at one dispatcher working. And in about 48 minutes, he had 69 phone calls coming in. And most of those were 911 calls of passerbyers going through there. So that shows you how much traffic is on the freeway at nighttime, or that early in the morning. He was able to answer, I want to say, 49 of those phone calls. And a lot of those 911 calls rolled into the admin lines. And he was able to pick them up and still get the information. Everybody was reporting the same calls. We lost a few of those. A few of them, of those 911 calls, were abandoned. We weren't able to answer them. Couldn't do it. You know, and the callers either hung up or something like that, and or they came through on an admin line. We're not really sure what happened, but we lost them. And that was one of the big things we have. You know, if you're trying to call 911 and we're not able to answer it with one person, there's big troubles there. And that's kind of why we're looking at adding the second people. I mean, they said 48 out of 69 is not too bad for one guy. At the same time, he's also dispatching fire. He's calling Truckee Meadows. He's trying to do everything else to get them going out here, getting the law enforcement going. He's doing all this stuff at the same time. One person's doing that. So it was an eye opener. It really was, looking at that. Luckily we got through it. And chances are those calls we lost were calls reporting the same exact thing. Someone saw the sirens and heard the sirens, saw the lights and hung up or whatever. But it was pretty eye opening to see that. And the stats we have now, it's pretty neat to see that we're actually able to go in there and look and see, okay, what did we do? We lost this call. Let's go find it. It was definitely eye-opening. We're looking at phone stuff here through the county. We're paying our current provider, our phone provider, roughly $7,000 a month for countywide for telephones. And that's not cell phones. That's landline. It's not cheap. We're paying some lines, we're paying as much as $110, $120 a month for just a regular landline. They just, all the fees, all the prices, it's not a cheap thing to do anymore. We started looking at some new stuff, looking at some phones we're probably going to bring online here in the next couple weeks. We're having a problem with the phones in the district attorney's office. They share the phone system with the sheriff's office. Half the phone system works, the other half doesn't. The phone system that's in there is no longer supported. It's kind of obsolete, so there's really no way of fixing it unless you go out and get some more used stuff and put a Band-Aid on it. So we started looking at stuff and started looking at this new voice over IP stuff they had going, cloud-based type phones, pretty neat stuff. Wasn't sure if it was going to work or not. We had this company come up and plug in some equipment, which I believe is still plugged in there right now, checking the bandwidth. And we have more than enough bandwidth to run this phone system in there. The phone system, to purchase it, is about the same price as it is to purchase the other system, the old one, about $7,000 to $8,000, whatever it is, to purchase it. But the savings comes with the voice over IP. We're able to take all those phones. I believe there's probably four or five phones that, you know, business lines at about $110, $120 bucks a piece. And then we have, what are those, DID lines, to make it simple. It's the four-digit dialing you have in your 0952 or whatever. Take those types of things. We're paying $550 a month for that service. So we're able to take all this stuff and add it up. You're looking at $1,100 bucks. The new system we're looking at is going to cost about $332 a month. So it's, you know, a significant savings. So I'm looking at kind of going from there. Once we see how it works here, if we like this system, how it's going to work, you know, we'll probably start expanding. This building here, I can't even imagine, is probably $3,000, $4,000 a month, and we can probably provide the same service for, you know, $1,000 a month when it comes to that. So there's a significant savings of it. And that's kind of the way we're looking at going with the new technology with it. Anything else? Okay. Any questions?
Great. Thanks for your explanation, Jim.
You bet. Thank you.
Thanks, Dave. The next department is our IT department, and the IT budget increased about $26,000 over last year, which mostly results in communication upgrades and necessary computer equipment purchases. Getting all of this stuff as to work has been a tremendous task, and James Dean has done a marvelous job of all of this. I can remember in the early days when, you know, something wouldn't work, we wouldn't get it done, it would be kind of lagging, and the internet was slow, everything was slow, emails were always down, whatever. You don't see any of that stuff now, and it's a compliment to James and his crew. They just do a marvelous job, and now with all of the additional work that we have to do in the service center out in the industrial park. Congratulations, James. Did a great job.
And I want to point out to you, I don't know if you want to say anything, JD, or not, but you know, this department is more than an IT department. They manage our website. We had a meeting this morning, and we had an issue with one of our vehicles that we use to communicate. In this case, 847 Info. There were some problems with AT&T, just call it like it is, the phone company. And JD had the capability of getting that off referenced out of our website. But we held on, and Dave managed to get it fixed within a minute or 2 minutes. So it tells you the great working relationship between IT and communications and the flexibility we have now that we have our own webmaster, if you will, in Tim. So good job.
Thank you.
I'm going to throw another point in there. If James needs it, he really needs it. I mean, we have talked about it. He says, no, I don't need it this year. I may need it next year. So it's a kind of a breath of fresh air to kind of have that availability and that at least that honesty that comes through it. Our next department is mine. And our department has projected increases of $17,000, which is mainly due to an employee reclassification and merit increases. The functions of the accounting staff have increased over the prior years to include internal departmental audits, and it will this next fiscal year we're going to get with Denny. We're going to do some room tax audits of some of the various hotels and motels in our area, and we're going to have a greater impact on what the 2016 certified annual audit will do. Jennifer McCain went out and got herself a associate's degree. We're going to take that out for a spin, and I'm blessed to have such a great staff. Emergency management budget projections increased $4,000 over last year, which is directly related to a GIS service. Do you want to chime in on that a little bit?
Yes. We're looking again at our GIS services and how we can get the most bang for our buck. Janice Seddon has kind of led the way, and It for years we have essentially come close to depleted the technology fund and relied on it heavily. As we get more and more online through major programs that she brings to us from that tech fund, like pictometry and others, the GIS becomes more and more valuable to everybody. So what we have done is we have basically gone back, I think, to many departments, to Austin, to James, to potentially the sheriff, to fire, and said, you're going to pay to play in this thing. If you need maps, if you need the tools that this provides. So Jana is still paying the lion's share from the tech fund, but there will be several departments that were new to join in the $5,000 club membership level. So that's kind of where we are.
Thank you. Our next is community relations. The community relations budget increased $42,000 above last year. The next fund is emergency mitigation. Is a fund that was created by resolution 08226 on July 17, 2008, to set aside funds to pay expenses incurred by the local government to mitigate the effects of an emergency. We have that set at $100,000. We're going to look at possibly increasing this because an emergency this day, you probably couldn't get funding for an emergency for $100,000. But what we're doing now is this is kind of Joe Curtis's account. If they need, through the flooding that happened last year, things such as sandbags and things of that nature usually come out of this type of account. Our next department now is community relations. That budget increased $42,000 above last year, and the differences were as follows. There was increases in the Senior Citizen Center of $14,000, St. Mary's Arts Center of $6,000, Nevada Agricultural Extension of $5,000, the North County Senior Center of $1,000, Mark Twain of $5,000, and the Fire Museum, which was new this year, of $10,000. Sherry Nevin is our department head there and does a tremendous job. We're so thankful to have her and her competence in this area. The next fund is the Park Fund. Park Fund has an ending fund balance of $11,354, after all the adjustments that we're going to make. The Park Fund will have an infusion, or did have an infusion of income that was related to an audit that was performed from 1980 to the present. Currently, the balances in the Park Fund are as follows. Virginia City has a $6,065 balance. Virginia City Highlands, $43,786. Mark Twain, $32,958. And Lockwood is $36,695. Please note that these numbers included the penalty interest, which we had a ruling from our district attorney's office that should not have been the case. But all of this audit has been completed. The numbers have been agreed upon, and these balances are as of March 31st. Understand that the increases to these funds depends upon building permits as they come through the Community Development Department.
For residential
only, and it's $100, and so that's how they get the funding. In addition to that, Mike Nevin also takes care of the parks, some of the funding out of his budget, so not to leave anybody on the loose or unappropriated.
Can I chime in?
Go ahead.
For the commission and for the public, these park funds are highly regulated by NRS. There are only certain items that you can use this for. Typically, they are improvements. They're not the ongoing maintenance that goes on today at Louise Perry and also at Miners Park. And what we have done, hopefully that's agreeable to you guys, is oftentimes when these balances, you know, people see them and they go, well, I want a basketball hoop and somebody else wants this, and it just starts coming at you from all directions. So what we have tried to do, fortunately now in at least three of our residential communities, those being Lockwood, the River District, if you will, the Highlands, and Mark Twain, we now have good community-based groups. So what we require in terms of funding consideration, if someone from the Highlands wanted to make an improvement to the park, an improvement, say a trail or exercise equipment or whatever it may be, we then direct them to go to the two homeowners associations and say, you get their endorsement of this project, and then we will consider funding it. Mark Twain, I think, has been an excellent example of that. Ron Engelbrecht has got a great plan for a veterans memorial out there, and I think it'll be a great addition to that park when it's done. So that's kind of the general operating guidelines as to how we administer that fund. It's not just somebody coming in and saying, I want a basketball hoop.
Are you done with that one, then?
Yes.
Well, it looks like we're about a third way through the budget. So why don't we take about a 10-minute recess or break and stretch your legs a little bit? Okay.